the role of the next generation on boards of family-owned enterprises. Transferring a family-owned enterprise to the next generation raises complex and emotionally charged questions. A Chinese proverb states that wealth shall not pass three generations. The first generation builds wealth, the second manages it, and the third generation destroys it. The challenge often arises when the next generation takes over from the original founder, or multiple generations who personally had everything put into the business, whereas the next generation tends to have less of an emotional connection to the business. Founders and generations after them also have obligations to fulfill to ensure a successful succession to the next generation. This is part three of our three-part podcast series on family-owned enterprises, where we look from different angles at boards and governance and related topics. In this episode, we will focus on the role of the next generation on boards of family-owned enterprises. I'm delighted to talk again with Martin Roll. Martin is a global expert on family business and family office topics and a world-renowned C-level advisor and business school educator. Welcome to the Better Boards podcast series. I'm Dr. Sabine Demkowski, founder and managing partner of Better Boards. We make the boards of the most ambitious organizations more effective. Our mission at Better Boards is to contribute to creating better boards. We do this by providing clients with an evidence-based approach for board evaluations and board development programs. Better Boards clients have access to an innovative digital platform that provides data and comparisons on all dimensions of effective boards and can be used as part of an internal but also a fully facilitated external evaluation. We also license large management consultancies to use our digital platform. To fulfill our mission, we give a voice to all who care about creating better boards. Martin, welcome back to the Better Boards podcast series. Good to have you again.
Thanks for having me. Good to be back here.
Fantastic. I've read some of your articles in the meantime, and in one you stated that the family and the business are complementary assets. What do you mean by this?
I guess it's first and foremost because I am very passionate about the family business and family-owned firms, but the combination between family and business, I believe, is very strong, is very unique, and in many ways can also be very hard to match. Think about it. On one side, you got the family. They bring values. They bring legacy, passion, entrepreneurship, and first and foremost, very personal involvement. And on the other side, you've got business, which essentially is a platform for change. It's a channel for doing meaningful things, change society, better world, and all that. If you bring those two together, I think they're very complementary and very powerful assets.
What are the questions owners of a family business should really ask themselves?
I mean, a question I ask the principals all the time, for some of them can be a little, it could be seen as a provocation, but I ask, are you the right owners? And if you are the right owner, why are you the right owner? Mm-hmm. And here, I think it's all about, despite you controlling it, and by controlling things, you can end up being a little arrogant and maybe complacent over time. And that means you're going to lose your competitiveness. You should always seek to outperform. So for example, what if a private equity firm owned the firm, which I know in third or fourth generation you might own by now, could a private equity firm do it to your business? Would that be a better ownership? Not that you're going to sell it, but how can you get inspired from other ways of owning your company? So get inspiration, look at what other people are doing, look at other types of ownership, and then take that long-term view. But you need to marry that with some of the best practices of being competitive and seek to outperform all the time.
We are talking in this one about the next generation. What role can the next generation play in family-owned enterprises?
I think first and foremost, next generations can play the roles of change agents. I often tell next gens that I think they have three different distinct roles to play. First of all, they can work in the business. They can serve on the board or the supervisory board, and or they can become a responsible owner. And of course, these different roles can change over time, and they often do. You might start to work a bit in the business when you're young. Later, you serve on the board, and who knows, one fine day, you might be an owner of the business, or it could be the reverse. But it also needs to fit your personality. It needs to fit your skills, your interest, by the way, because if this is kind of a long-term commitment, how do you see yourself in here? So overall, the role of the next gen, I guess, is to be renewal and be the voice of the new generation, because you're going to be in tune with modern customers, competition of today, the market, society at large. So I think next gens can bridge past, present, and future. I mean, they do understand the legacy because they are family by blood in many ways, but they can really be change agents to make sure that family enterprises keeps being successful.
What traits should they really bring to the table in order to succeed? Because being a change agent is not easy. I mean, the father, the mother are, of course, wedded to their ideas because they were successful in their time.
It could be very challenging to be next gen, but I think you should bring as much as possible to the table and you should dare to be yourself. I mean, you need to be essentially the new voice. And it's not that your voice and your younger perspectives are better than what works today or what worked yesterday for someone else, being your dad, your uncle, your mom. But bring that kind of global outlook that may be a little better than the past generations due to technology, the way we travel, the way that younger generations have grown up and being influenced by education and so forth. And I think next generation leaders, I mean, think about it, they are very savvy normally in digital and technology, and also they do care about society and impact some of those two very big objects of our time. I mean, former US President John F. Kennedy, he said, it's time to repair the roof when the sun is shining. Which I think is always good to remember, because it's not that you're coming in, you need to create kind of revolution in the firm, but you need to make sure that you keep renewing and you are always fit for purpose. So next generation leaders should question the established norms and structures and dare to do things a little different.
Ahead of this series, we talked about the great work you've done with some of the leading business schools around the globe. And you personally mentored over 650 next gen family members. Give us a glimpse a little bit. What keeps them awake at night?
What keeps them awake at night is really this overarching question about, is this being me being a family member, is that a burden or is that an opportunity? Because think about, if you're going to join back in the family firm, you might have worked outside, you might have studied outside, you might have lived outside your native country for a couple of years, depending on your age. Are you driven then by guilt, by duty, pressure, expectations, choice? What's your time perspective in terms of whether you should return back to the family business or not? Should I, or do I have enough work experience outside? How do I prepare for it? What if I join or continue with the family? What is my role going to be? How can I know about it? Would there be a roadmap? How can I guide my journey? So, and often they ask me, what do other next gens do in a similar situation? That I've done a lot of that over the years, and I keep doing around 100 next gens every year. So I have a very good benchmark of what is really happening out there. But what I tell them always is, you really have to be yourself. You have to develop your own voice, and you have to bring a new perspective. So dare to be yourself. That's what the family business needs.
I mean, the current generation, the senior generation that currently own and lead the family enterprise, how can they really help the next gen members so that they successfully settle into their role?
I think by creating that maybe nonverbal, sometimes verbal invitation to join or to be involved with the family business, then that often starts with facilitating good communication. And communication can be hard because you have different expectations across generations. You might have certain tensions and so forth. And then remind yourself as a senior generation that in succession planning, you need to have two protagonists. Allow the next gens to have a voice, allow them to have an opinion. And again, we're not talking about revolution here. We're not talking about next gens have it all. They don't, but they need to have, and they need to be allowed to have a perspective. Some of the stumbling blocks for next gens to join is often they need to know, what is my mandate? So if I'm joining, what am I going to do? Would I have authority? Would I have a certain sense of autonomy? Because if I joined another business outside the family, that is what I would get. I would get a job description. I would have a certain authority, a certain autonomy, and a roadmap. And how would I know that my dad, my mom, my uncle, the senior generation, would they in due time step aside? And I think, for example, when it comes to succession planning, this is very hard for the seniors. I mean, there has to be a retirement date in principle. When are you going to leave the room for the next generations to take charge or to lead? We refer to that as what I call the aging tycoon problem. It's really hard to step down from power and the limelight, but that's what you have to do. At least you have to sidetrack yourself over time at the right time to allow the next gens to join.
And how can boards help in this process? What can they do really to help to prepare for the transition to the next generation?
I mean, think about it. Only 15% of family businesses worldwide have a kind of a plan for succession in place. So you need to start early. And it normally takes at least 5 to 7 years in most cases to do succession right. This is where I think boards have a huge role to play, making sure we get this conversation and this kind of what I referred to before, the two-way street going. So you can mediate, you can be the one to ask sensitive questions, you can guide and you can nurture succession over time. And succession is not like a standard formula. It has to find its own way because every family is unique, they have their own issues and so forth. And I often tell boards, make sure you clean up the shop in every generation. Don't pass on the laundry. Current tensions, unsolved issues, ownership disputes, anything that kind of resides in the current generation or in generations in charge, make sure that you get rid of them so you don't pass on the laundry to that. And make sure you develop the competence of the next gens, for example, by having that outside experience as we talked about.
And how can individual directors, outside directors help? Is there anything they can do in your view?
Absolutely. I think outside directors on family business boards have a huge role to play. First of all, they need to see themselves as directors of all generations, not only the senior generation under which you serve right now on the board, but also for the younger generation that are coming in. So you can provide mentorship, you can facilitate, create that kind of formal, but also an informal relationship with the next gens coming into the new roles, because you seem to be the one with no biases. You are free of the tensions. I mean, you are aware of the family issues, but you have to act as an independent voice here. So I think you can help to communicate across the generation gap, if that exists across the generations between the next gen and the senior generation. And then you can be a toolbox about board work, about compliance, governance, best practices, and how do we really act and work as a great board and be that inspiration for the next gens coming in.
Fantastic, Martin. We have to come to an end. As always, what are the three things our listeners should take away from this podcast?
I think, first of all, succession is one of the most complex matters in family business. I mean, it's a very important one, but it's complex. So make sure you start early, plan ahead, make sure that the next generation is in place when you need it and when it's desired. So that's a bit of work to do on that one. Secondly, remember that next generation members bring renewal. So directors on a board, they can influence how to integrate them, they can onboard them, they can help to mentor them. So you as a board member has a huge role to play for bringing that renewal about into the company. And then finally, next generation brings continuity, and they are the ones that make sure that actually the legacy carry on. So the board should ask itself, how can we be the best version? How can we help the long-term competitiveness and the relevance of the family business? And then maybe remember that family business can be very meaningful. So help to unlock that passion.
Martin, fantastic. We come to the end of our three-part series on family-owned enterprises. So thank you so, so much for contributing, making such a large contribution to the Better Boards podcast series.
You're most welcome. I really enjoyed it.
How can we help you and your board? We at Better Boards are always delighted to hear from you. Get in touch if you would like to hear more about our podcast series, if you would like to suggest a topic, or maybe you are even interested in a demo of our board evaluation platform. Whatever it is, we are delighted to hear from you. You can best reach us at info@better-boards.com. Thank you for listening.